And a very good Christmas Eve morning to you. Just a few hours left, and Santa will be on his way. Of course, some people feel that Santa should be gender neutral as well as racially neutral, which is kind of interesting. Scott Spears, right, Ron Fineman's on the line with me. I thought maybe we'd talk about this first. He spoke with Santa Larry a few days ago. Now, Santa Larry was the first black man to be a Santa Claus at a shopping center at the Mall of America, I believe. So Santa being racially neutral, actually, I tend to agree with that. I don't really think of Santa as having a race, kind of like the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy. You don't think of black and white or Asian. It's just Santa. However, I do believe that Santa should be a man. I don't go for the gender neutral. For one thing, he has a beard. The Tooth Fairy is a female. Of course, the Easter Bunny, I'm not quite sure if that's a male or a female. That's an interesting one. But certainly, again, Tooth Fairy is a girl. Santa Claus is a guy. I'm not sure if you caught the interview, Ron, or if you were familiar with. We do thank again Ron Fineman for joining us on this Christmas Eve, kind of jumping into a conversation. But I just thought about this before before we get into the more serious stuff. But not sure, Ron, if you'd heard the interview of Scott had with Santa Larry, again, the first black man to be a black Santa Claus at a shopping mall. Really good interview from a groundbreaking person. And I'm sure you've seen the Facebook posts about Santa. Should Santa be gender neutral, racially neutral, etc.? Would you agree with me that the race isn't a big deal? Honestly, I don't think of Santa as being white or black, and I do applaud Santa Larry. Certainly, he got some flack for what
he did.
I agree with you.
Yes.
I think of him as an American folk hero. I respect the man for doing it. Personally, I say go for it. I don't see an issue with that. But in terms of race, in terms of male, female, Santa's a guy. Again, just like the Tooth Fairy is a girl. Would you agree with that, Ron, or should we take it a step further and kind of blur the line between whether Santa Claus is male or female?
No, I agree with you completely, Adam. Absolutely.
Are you with me also that Santa Larry is a person to look up to, that he had the, I guess,
sure,
borrowing a Yiddish term, the chutzpah, to be a Santa Claus at the biggest shopping mall in the United States, and I applaud him for that. But
would say a Jewish person could be Santa Claus. It doesn't have to be a Christian.
Yeah, and there's
a Jewish person or a Muslim or a Hindu. It could be anybody.
Yeah, there is a difference there. Yeah, whether Christmas is a religious holiday or a secular or both or a celebrational holiday, that's been brought up also. It just kind of depends. Also, was Jesus really born on December 25th? I've heard he was born in August, April. And, of course, the whole calendar isn't necessarily following the same pattern or the same coordination with seasons that it does in Jesus' time. But like with a lot of days, you just pick a day to celebrate. It doesn't have to be the exact day that it took place. So, it's up to interpretation. Certainly, I would say Christmas is a religious holiday first, a secular holiday second. And in this country where we have freedom of religion, you can celebrate it or not celebrate it, do what you wish. But what we do want to say to our listeners is happy holidays, whichever holiday you choose to celebrate. Here at the radio station, we have holidays for you every day if you love great radio. And on this program with my guest who's made a few quick appearances, because I didn't really make a formal introduction, and sorry about that, Dr. Ron Fineman, we're going to talk about the politics. And something else to observe, Ron, is normally this time of the year, news kind of slows down, that there's not a lot going on, but this has to be the busiest second half of December in terms of news that I've seen in quite a long time. We have the stock market and its roller coaster. Of course, we have more changes at the Donald Trump cabinet. The wall, will there be or not, will there not be? Government shutdown, will there be, will there not be? And I would say some things that are good, like gas prices are looking pretty low right now. They went up about 30 cents a few days ago, then now they're back down, at least in my neighborhood, to about 190, 195, and I can certainly live with that. And whether or not Donald Trump
That's lower than we have. Here in Florida, it's about 239.
But still, compared to the prices around $4 that you and I have seen not too long ago, that ain't too bad. Whether or not it's because of Donald Trump's policies, I don't know.
It's not.
Yeah, we both said he's kind of a benefactor of circumstance, but that's kind of what the president will experience. You blame bad economy things like higher gas prices, unemployment, etc., on the president, and whether or not you give the president credit for things like low gas prices is determined whether or not you like the president to begin with. So it's all part of...
Let me start by saying that Donald Trump is the Grinch that stole Christmas. He's also Scrooge with what he's doing with closing the government down and having people working without pay. That's disgraceful.
There's been people that have said that maybe Congress should work without pay during a government shutdown. That's one thing that I do agree with. I say our first... We should certainly pay the civilian workers, as it's not fair for them, whether or not they agree with these issues. And again, my opinions are mixed. I think it's the politicians that need to agree. Whether or not they feel that they directly are involved, they should be the ones who work without pay to begin with. That's something I certainly have not much of a qualm about.
Yeah, I would agree. Except the one thing about politicians, none of them are really poor. None of them have to worry about making ends meet. So it doesn't really hurt them, even if they don't get paid at the moment.
Correct.
Well, it does affect border guards, at the southern border, or the Secret Service people, or the people at TSA, and so many others, national parks. So, you know, punishing politicians really doesn't punish them because they all have means. That's the one problem with that.
I guess, ironically, a lot of these people that are working without pay or getting furloughed are people involved in border control and TSA, things, jobs related to keeping our borders safe. And that's kind of what Donald Trump is wanting to do. It's a tangled web we weave, out of lack of a better way to say it. One thing I have seen online, Ron, again, I'm not the expert in every current event that occurs. I mean, like you are, of course. People saying,
I'll be honest, it's hard to be an expert at every current event. There's so many things going on, it's hard to keep up with it all, even for people who keep up like I do.
Right. But you are the official WGH presidentologist, and so if anybody would know, you would. Wasn't there I'm not sure if this is even true, because I don't remember enough, but I'm thinking it was. Wasn't there a shutdown of some kind when Obamacare couldn't get passed, and they were still kind of arguing about it, and the government did shut down until they finally got to a resolution? I did see that being posted online.
Yes.
And
yes,
I guess,
true.
Look at it
We've
this way.
We've had a lot of government shutdowns.
Right. How is that much different than Trump saying, well, I want the wall? How about Obama saying, I want Obamacare? How is that really much different in terms of the president?
Well, it wasn't initiated...
Not getting his way with...
that I can remember by the president.
Right.
It was initiated by the Republicans who control Congress. The Republicans, of course, almost all of the government shutdowns throughout history, not the Democrats. So that's the difference.
But here with the wall, what would need to be done to get to a compromise? Either get the money for the wall and bring the government back into full... back in everybody doing her job again, or have a modification of the wall, or have no wall at all, and again, do a...
need the wall. We have other means to have security than that. It's a waste of taxpayer dollars, and it would not work. People would just, you know, somehow manage to overcome it, just as they always do. You know, you have these tunnels, you know, dug under and at the San Diego border. People come in, you know, drug dealers and all that. There's no way to perfectly prevent people from coming in, other than drones and technology and other kinds of things. Building a wall is a boondoggle, as far as I see it, and it's a bad message, I think, also.
Something else I've seen online, Ron, is people posting photos of prisons and saying, well, if walls didn't work, why do we have this big wall surrounding prisons? And again, there is barbed wire. It's a different type of wall, but in a general sense, it's a similar concept. And I say, well...
But it's not 2,000 miles from coast to coast. That's the difference, you know, from the Gulf of Mexico to the Pacific. It's very different in a prison. Actually, there's now some prison reform. They're promoting, you know, crime justice reform right now because they realize they've been too tough on that. So that's one thing that's occurred recently, which is a good thing.
I guess the bottom line is, Ron, you and I don't disagree at all. We're in 100% agreement that we need to secure the borders. You are not for open borders. And there are politicians, again, including someone we have some liking for, Joe Kennedy, the third or the fourth, whichever one he is. And he seems to be in favor of open borders. And also, it seems like Nancy Pelosi is not.
I don't think he's really in quite that way. I think he just believes the wall won't work. I think you're being unfair to Joe Kennedy.
Yeah, well, from what I've seen, he seems to be saying that ice should be melted, so to speak, and that's...
Well, ice should be melted. We don't, you know, except for the North Pole, we don't want ice melted.
Right, but not, that wasn't the ice I was referring, and even Nancy Pelosi.
I know, I'm just, yeah. I'm kidding
but around understand,
with you.
I guess the way that it's done, and the wall certainly would be expensive.
Ice should be reorganized.
Yeah.
Not gone.
I guess I don't feel I'm qualified to give a judgment as to how it should be reformed. But I am in favor of strong border control. Any person running for office who even gives me a hint that he or she is in favor of open borders is not going to get my vote. And that's probably one of the top three or four disqualifiers that I would use in determining whom to vote for. And I'm really surprised many of my Facebook friends saying abolish ICE, open borders. No, it doesn't work that way.
No, I do not agree with that.
And
I agree with progressives on a lot of things, you know.
But how to manifest it, I also would say I don't know enough about it, but we do need reform, and immigration is a very serious problem. How to solve it, I don't know. I said I'm just a goofy chemistry major. I know what I can do, what I can't do. But the current system has holes. And I guess one issue that I have with the president is, if I'm not mistaken, when he was campaigning, he said Mexico would pay for the wall. And that doesn't seem to be what's happening. Not that I really thought that it would. And now we have the GoFundMes. We have the appropriation of $5 billion for the construction. The fact that he doesn't seem to have been truthful about that—that's what irks me. And I think if he would have been,
well, he's not truthful about anything.
If he would have been truthful and said, well, we'd like Mexico to pay for it, just like I'd like Mexico to pay my mortgage for me, well, it's not reasonable to think that. The border wall is on the United States side, and the United States should be the ones paying for it. If he would have been truthful about that, I really would have helped. People like myself that, well, I guess let's not pardon the pun, who are on the border or on the fence about this issue, were more likely to support him if he would have been truthful. When he's not, you kind of wonder about what his motives are. And that's, I think, been a – I think I am qualified to say that has been a big roadblock to, I guess, another pun that was intended to getting this accomplished. Now, with this time of the year, Ron, everything kind of slows down. It's the holidays, again, the transition between the seasons. We just had the solstice, et cetera. So this time of the year, things kind of slow down, but we have government workers who depend upon their income to feed their families, pay their bills, and go about their day-to-day activities, not to mention do the important, often thankless jobs that they do, including people that work in border security, and as we've talked about, in the park system. With this in mind, Ron, come, say, middle of January, after the holiday season has ended, and we're looking forward almost to fall, what do you think will be the status? Will the government still be shut down? Will they still be fighting about it? Or can a resolution be made in the very near future and get our valuable workers back on the job and back on the payroll?
I am concerned that Trump is not going to make any deal and that we're going to still be shut down, possibly. And meanwhile, we're wasting government money, $25 billion the last time that we shut down the government. And some people are not working, but they get their back pay. So it adds to our national debt. And I just don't see him making any negotiated compromise with the Democrats. And remember, January 3rd, the Democrats take over in the House. So it's going to be fireworks all the time, along with all the investigations that will begin. So I don't really have much of a feeling that we're going to get a resolution, because Trump has made a deal with the extreme right on Fox News and talk radio and Ann Coulter and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, that he has to be tough. So I don't see the Democrats caving in. I don't really know what's going to be happening, but it's going to be very bad for the economy and very bad for, I think, for the attitude about the government and how people believe in it. It's very worrisome.
So you're saying that a government shutdown costs a lot, not just in terms...
And it could be very long. Yes.
Right, and we need to avoid these kinds of problems But as you said earlier,
absolutely, yes.
We had shutdowns during the Obama administration, but you're saying it's pretty much the Republicans' fault. Is that being a little too harsh on that party, or do you really feel that it's the Republicans that are not the ones who want to compromise and realize that we're all on the same team as Americans?
Well, because I think most Republicans were willing to just forget about the wall. They couldn't get it done while they were in control. But now with Trump, refusing to negotiate, they're backing him up. And they should just say no. And, of course, that would not make him happy. But I really think there needs to be a revolt against him in the Republican Party. They've got to have people challenging him for the nomination in 2020. They really do. And they have to really insist that he take action and end this shutdown. But he has the upper hand, and he can control the situation because he has to sign any bill to restart the government, and that's the problem. And he's showing his authoritarian bent, and I'm very worried about that.
We are speaking with Dr. Ron Fineman on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor, talking about current events. We talked about Santa Claus. Is Santa Claus male, female, black, white, or does it really matter? We pretty much agree that race isn't really relevant. I don't even think of Santa as having a race. And that's also, again, Scott Spears having spoken with Santa Larry Jefferson, a black gentleman who played Santa at the very large Mall of America in the Minneapolis St. Paul area. Really good conversation if you had a chance to catch it. But we do agree that the Tooth Fairy is a girl and Santa Claus is a guy. Now we're discussing Donald Trump. He is president, that we know for sure, and we're discussing whether or not he's a good president. And it would appear that Ron is not exactly enamored with this administration. And as Americans, we're all on the same team as far as I'm concerned. And this government shutdown is something we need to stop ASAP, as it has some very serious repercussions, including the fact that many valuable government workers are not getting their paycheck and not doing the job that they enjoy doing. Ron is the author of a blog called theprogressiveprofessor.com, where he talks about current political issues and delves into presidential history and future and past elections and all that good stuff. Of course, many events have taken place recently, not just this government shutdown. Another big one would be the impending resignation of a cabinet member that we're both a fan of, Mr. Jim Mattis, defense secretary. How major of an issue is this, Ron? And will not having Mattis, an experienced veteran and military administrator, not having him in office, how will that be detrimental to our great country?
I think it's very dangerous because he's, as they say, the last adult in the room who will say no to Donald Trump and will challenge him. And I'm concerned that the new acting Secretary of Defense, who's going to replace Mattis by the end of the year, so he's making Trump's making Mattis leave 2 months early. I think it's very dangerous, and we have just a group of lapdogs now, I think, around the president, and I think that makes him someone who's going to be much more likely to break the law and to indeed act in an unlawful manner. And I'm very worried, you know, because I think his decision to indeed withdraw from Syria abruptly, while I'm not an interventionist, I do think that it's something that's a mistake to be leaving Syria suddenly. It's going to abandon the Kurdish minority that has stuck with us. It's going to, I think, put the whole Middle East in a much more dangerous way. And I think that ISIS is not totally gone. I do not think it is totally gone. The Taliban also by leaving Afghanistan too quickly. I'm not saying stay forever, but I just think it's a mistake. Now, it's interesting. I see online there's a publication, I guess, called the Progressive Press that says that they hail Trump for getting us out of Syria. And I thought, wow, I'm a progressive. At least I thought I was. And now I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm not a progressive, according to some people. And I see that Ted Lieu of California, Congressman Ted Lieu, who is certainly one of those people who thinks that Trump has done impeachable acts, still is backing him on Syria. So there's going to be people on, I guess, the left in the Democratic Party. And I will be interested to see if Bernie Sanders is one of those. I don't know. Elizabeth Warren and others, are they going to back him on that issue? That's going to cause a real split in the Democratic Party for 2020, I think.
Well, as they say, politics makes strange bedfellows, doesn't it? Could you imagine
Bernie
Sanders saying that I like what Donald Trump did? I don't think I would.
I haven't heard that he said anything yet, but yeah. I have a feeling that he might agree with him, and I don't agree on that. So I guess I'm not a hawk, but and I'm not an interventionist, but on this I think it's a blunder, and it's going to cause trouble with ISIS and the Taliban, you know, in the future. We could have another terrorist attack because ISIS is still around. It just killed two Scandinavian women in Morocco, sliced them up, beheaded them. I mean, ISIS is still around. It may be 99% gone as far as land, but the ISIS terrorism in the Middle East, for I think for Trump to say, let others take care of it, that's not the answer. I don't think it is.
Now, isn't the main reason why Mr. Mattis resigned the Syria withdrawal? He had a serious problem with that, and that kind of led to the fact other things, too, that he didn't like about Donald. But that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, wasn't it? And doesn't that kind of indicate...
Point, yes.
We do. We like Mattis. Honestly, I think he's one of the best defense secretaries in my lifetime. And that's an important job, as the president is the commander-in-chief of the military. But with Mattis gone, I'm worried. No other way to say it. I'm not pleased about this. And just like what I said, there are things I am not an expert in. I'm not an expert in knowing how to secure the border. I don't know. I know very little. I know almost nothing about running the military. And Mattis does, you know, he probably doesn't have as much knowledge about state capitals and chemistry as I do, but that's okay. Everybody has his or her knowledge and important things to know about. I'd say, Donald, let Mattis do his job. You're not going to find somebody better, even if that means concessions. And the Syria issue, again, we might joke about politics making strange bedfellows, but really is a study in philosophies. We have Ron being a traditional Democrat who is just progressive, and but isn't one to say, well, I'm going to align with the party just because it's what they have to say, saying he disagrees strongly with this withdrawal. But we have so many people who also say that they're progressive, Democrats, people leaning to the left, even possibly to very left-wing people, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who may...
Waiting to hear what they have to say.
They may say, well, we agree with this, and we don't want to feel like we're having military intervention anywhere, but it is necessary. It's necessary to have it. It's not a pleasant thing to talk about or to do, but it's a fact of life. Not everybody gets along. And in this case, like with other issues, I don't know enough about it to form an opinion, but I do respect what Mr. Mattis has to say, and it's obvious he doesn't agree with the decision, and so I'll defer to him. And if he feels that this was not too bright, I'll agree with him, as I think that's I have enough confidence in the guy to form that opinion.
Now, yeah, I want to point out that by leaving Syria completely, the United States emboldens Iran, which they call their enemy, and it makes it possible for Iran to have a greater influence in the area. And, you know, he apparently Trump doesn't want to deal with Iran. He broke the Iran agreement, and yet now he's done something that Iran's going to applaud, and Russia's going to applaud, and Putin already has, and also Turkey, which plans to wipe out the Kurds. So to me, it's just the whole thing is crazy. It makes no sense. If you're anti-Iran, you don't leave the influence you had in Iran, in Syria, and embolden the ISIS group, which is not quite dead, although it's been blown up. And I just think he doesn't make any sense, our president. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, he is a character, isn't he? As I've mentioned,
yes.
Ron, although there are general philosophies of Donald's that I do agree with, there are certain things that he's done and ways that he carries himself that I have a serious problem with. And as if you're a regular listener to the show, you probably know that those two things are his failure to support net neutrality and failure to understand it, ironically, because he's such a user of social media, that really dumbfounds me. And the second thing is that it seems like every week Ron and I spend half the show talking about who resigned the cabinet. And of late, we've talked about two cabinet members that we're both fond of. Nikki Haley, I'm probably more fond of her than he is, but Ron certainly has a more positive than negative opinion about her. And someone we both have much admiration for, James Mattis. And I guess
now
the
bottom
line is, Ron, is there anybody left in his cabinet that, you know what my opinions are. And is there anybody left in the cabinet whom we like? Are all the good guys and girls, in Nikki's case, gone?
There's no one left because H.R. McMaster's gone as well, and I thought he was quite good. No, I really think that, you know, the ones that are left that we don't talk about much, like for instance, Ben Carson is a disaster. You know, he doesn't know what he's talking about with housing and urban development. Rick Perry and energy, remember, he couldn't pass chemistry in college. I mean, these people don't make as much noise. Betsy DeVos, of course, does, trying to cut back on civil rights enforcement and education. But I think the whole cabinet is a disaster now, and now there's nobody you can really latch onto to really say, well, at least there's this person that's good. No. And I think Nikki Haley got out at the right time, and who knows? She might challenge in 2020. Who knows? She might say she isn't, but I wouldn't be so sure. We're going to start having a whole group, I think, of Republicans. A lot of them are critical of him on Trump on Syria. I think Kasich is going to run, and I think there are others in the party, like Corker, who's leaving, and Flake, who I think are likely to now get into the race. I don't know if they can stop him, but I do think that there's bound to be a contest for the nomination now. And it's the season to start thinking about it.
Actually, James Mattis was a little bit younger than I thought he was. I think his job may have aged him a bit. He's only 68. Honestly, I thought he was a little bit older, but I did cheat and looked at. Yeah, I don't want to. You know, I don't want to sound cruel, Ron, but you're 5 years old, 5 years older than he is.
Well, actually, now.
5 years and about 3 months. Don't you look like you could be his son? Wouldn't you say that you look a bit younger than he does? And despite,
well, he's also been in the military in stressful situations. I've been a civilian teaching on the college level, a very different kind of a lifestyle. I think that's part of it too.
Okay, just I don't want to sound mean because again, we admire the guy greatly, but he's had a productive life. And bottom line is, in almost 2019, 68 is not old anymore. And you think he's going to retire?
According to Bob Woodward, Mattis said that Trump acts like a fifth or sixth grader, I think is what he quoted him as saying, you know, which was never proved that he said it, but supposedly that's what he told, told Bob Woodward, and I'm sure he probably did say something like that.
And do you think at 68 he's going to retire? What do you think will be the future plans for Mr. Mattis?
Well, he had left the military, I believe, so I think he probably will be in retirement. Maybe he'll write a memoir. I have a feeling a lot of these people who were let go are going to start opening up and, you know, and attacking Trump soon. I really think they will, because his lack of respect for the expertise and knowledge of these top people around him, particularly in the military, you know, including Kelly, who I'm not a fan of, John Kelly, but John Kelly, McMaster, and now Mattis, all of them are gone, and I think he showed disrespect toward all three of them. Not that they're perfect, but I do think that's not the way you would expect the president to behave. And no other president has done this.
A lot of good Irish names in there, including the person who will be the acting defense secretary come New Year's Day, and that is Patrick M. Shanahan, replacing Mattis 2 months before the initial date of February 28th. And he's only 56. I hate to say he's not really much older than someone you know very well who's hosting this program right now.
But he looks older than you, doesn't he? I bet he does.
Looking at his vita, that, you know, he is very well educated. He has an MS in mechanical engineering from MIT, and I can assure you that I went to a college that was considered maybe a half a step below MIT, and anybody with a mechanical engineering degree from MIT is a pretty smart cookie, as my mom would say. He also has an MBA from MIT's School of Management. So, obviously,
but the minute he opens up his mouth, if he does to Trump on anything, he'll be out of there. That's the problem.
Yeah.
He doesn't listen to advice, and he doesn't like people contradicting
him. I mean,
so I don't know how long any of these people will last. Everybody gets pushed out. And in fact, I understand his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, at times he's annoyed Trump with him because sometimes Kushner says things he doesn't agree with. He wants someone to agree with him on everything, and that's not the way a president can act.
It would appear that Donald is a bit on the assertive, me first, and all bow to my greatness.
Only me is what it is. He's very self-centered.
Anyway,
that's a real problem.
Anyway, Mr. Shanahan, again, the acting defense secretary, very well educated from one of the top engineering schools in the world. He's listed as an independent, which is also kind of interesting. I guess maybe a little bit ironic that Mattis, according to Trump, was a Democrat. I guess Mattis is more middle of the road. I mean, not a conservative type of Republican. So, but bottom line is, I think defense secretary, is that really a job where your party matters? Your job is to keep our great country secure. And we agree, Mattis qualified. He's a good man with a long history of service to the country that he loves. But the new acting defense secretary is Patrick Shanahan. How much do we know about him, Ron? I mean, I'm impressed by his education, but that's just
honestly, I don't even know what he looks like. I'd have to look online to see what he appears like. A lot of these people are people that may be good, but we don't know much about them, and they're being made acting attorney general, acting Secretary of Defense, acting Chief of Staff with Mulvaney, Mick Mulvaney, who I'm not a big fan of because I've seen his career in Congress. He was one of these right wing wackos, I think, in the Congress. But even now, I read he's acting. He didn't want to be Chief of Staff to lose his other job. He wanted to be acting. And already, I read today that apparently he's upset Trump at something he had to say. So I don't think Mulvaney's going to last long either as acting Chief of Staff. It's he doesn't want anybody contradicting him, but this is not a dictatorship, and he needs to listen as Abraham Lincoln did and FDR did and John F. Kennedy did and Bill Clinton did and Barack Obama did to differing views and not go ahead and fire everybody because they don't agree with him. Maybe learn from others, but he doesn't do that.
I guess looking at Shanahan's history, Ron, and his background,
I got to look him up.
He has worked for Boeing, the main manufacturer of airplane stuff and airplanes and all that good stuff. I think I said stuff too many times. Anyway, he was VP and GM of Boeing Missile Defense Systems starting in December of 2004. 2.5 years ago, he became senior VP, supply chain and operations.
Nice. That's a pleasant face, but I think he won't be smiling much like using this photograph.
I would think with his background, being a longtime executive at Boeing and somebody with a very good education, a mechanical engineering degree, master's degree from MIT, guy's pretty smart, to put it mildly. I don't see him and Donald as really getting along too well. Just different.
No, I don't think so. He smiles too much, too. And I think he's going to be not smiling when he sees how Trump behaves, because he behaves horribly around everybody. His behavior is unacceptable in an adult. Adults can, except if you're the boss, you can do whatever you want. Anybody else that acted like Trump would be fired. That's the point.
Looks like he did have a disagreement with late John McCain. His Senate confirmation hearing as deputy secretary took place in June of last year. John McCain was in favor of giving lethal weapons to Ukraine and threatened to block Shanahan's nomination over his response in a written statement about whether or not the U.S. should provide such weapons to Ukraine. Shanahan said he did not have access to classified military information in order to make a decision on that matter. I respect Shanahan's business experience and his obvious knowledge and education, but I just don't see him and Donald Trump seeing eye to eye. And I don't think this is going to last. Would you agree with that, Ron, or are you more of a wait and see on this gentleman?
Well, I think it'll last for a while, but not 2 years. And the amount of turnover is beyond belief. It's like 65%, I think it is now, of his original choices for the cabinet are gone. And the ones that are left are in danger as well. And don't forget, we've also had Zinke as Secretary of the Interior leaving. I mean, it's just so much turnover because there's so many disasters, either because they can't get along with them or because they're involved in scandal themselves. This is the most corrupt and incompetent cabinet we've ever had of any president. And that includes Nixon. Nixon had some bad people, but he also had some very good people. So, but who's left? I mean, you're going to say Rick Perry's good or Ben Carson's good or Betsy DeVos? There's nobody good left.
And, of course, Mr. Munchkin, as I call him, the Secretary of the Treasurer. I don't know too much about the guy, but what I've heard.
He's original, but.
Yeah, what I've heard isn't good. Plus, his name is kind of funny. But I do kind of like his signature, though.
I'm impressed with Mnuchin at all.
Yeah,
you know?
I've seen his signature on the dollar bill. That's kind of a cool-looking signature. So, other than that, which really isn't overly important, I would say we've had better people in that office. Speaking with Dr. Ron Feinman, the progressive professor, on this Christmas Eve here at WWGH Radio about some current events and the, let's say, Donald Trump cabinet resignation of the week, And, of course, a big one being Mr. Mattis. When Nikki Haley resigned, we spent a bit of time talking about that also. And we tend to believe that the Mattis resignation had a lot to do with the Syria issue. And also the fact that there's a government shutdown, and as things tend to be slow this time of the year, we're not quite sure when that will end. And that's a serious issue, if for no other reason than the fact that there are people, valuable government workers who depend upon their salary and love their job, who are not doing their job currently and are not drawing their salary. And that's obviously not a good thing. On your blog, Ron, yesterday you wrote about Paul Ryan, whom you're not a fan of either, saying sayonara, auf Wiedersehen, das Vidanias, and adios. He's a despicable legacy of Ayn Rand worship, whose goal in Congress, luckily unmet, was to wipe out the social welfare state of Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal and Lyndon Johnson's Great Society. He seemed excited at the thought of ending Social Security. Now, Paul Ryan is a fairly young man. He said he's retiring, but
and Medicare and Medicaid also.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton said she retired, and now she's probably running for office for president again, so who knows? I don't believe
it. Please, no. Oh.
How many times did Michael Jordan retire, for goodness sake? So I don't believe anybody who says he or she is retiring. And Paul Ryan is in very good shape.
Yeah.
I mean, he's certainly very young for someone who's, I guess, 50-ish, 50 or so. What's going to happen with him? Does he have his eye on the Oval Office or on a cabinet position, or is he just going to go back into private life and not really be heard from too much?
Well, I think he'll go back into private life, but now because he has young children, he said that's why he was leaving, you know, because they're still pretty young before they go to college. But I think by 2024, not 2020, I think it's very likely he'll try to run for president, having been Speaker of the House. But I want to just let you know, if you've only had one Speaker of the House ever elected president, James K. Polk, in the 1840s. And to me, his record is one of having added gravy to the national debt, even though he talks about wanting to cut spending and all that, also enriching the rich and taking from the poor. The Catholic Church has condemned him for his hard-hearted attitude toward the poor and sick. You know, he's strongly anti-abortion, but he's not caring about what happens once a child is born. And he's been too obedient toward Donald Trump's abuse of power, as I see it. And, of course, he's an Ayn Rand follower, and I think anybody who believes in Ayn Rand is more than a little nuts. And I think very hard-hearted and selfish. And I wrote about him 6 years ago when he was running for vice president, and I got blistered by the right wing. A lot of people writing comments on my blog attacking me like nothing else. But I said then that he was a disgraceful example to be a heartbeat away. But as it is, he's been, for the last 3 years, two heartbeats away as Speaker of the House, just behind the president and the vice president. So I'm glad he's leaving. I really am.
So your conclusion, which I would agree with, is Paul Ryan will take a sabbatical for a few years and raise his family and then be back in the spotlight, maybe with his eyes on the presidency. But we shall see. Just when you think you've figured things out, a curve is, of course, thrown. That's kind of how it is.
Well, I want to point out he lost the vice presidency when he ran with Mitt Romney. So you would think, oh, that's the end. But I want to remind you, Franklin D. Roosevelt lost the vice presidency running in 1920 with James Cox, the governor of Ohio, against Warren G. Harding, senator from Ohio. And 12 years later, he was president. So, indeed, anything is possible. Just like Beto O'Rourke, there's now more rumors that he's going to run. And you say, but wait, he lost the Senate race from the House of Representatives, so that kills him. No, it doesn't, because actually George H. W. Bush lost two Senate races after being, you know, the second one after being a congressman. And Abraham Lincoln, after being a congressman, lost the Senate race, and they both became president. So there are examples of how you could overcome past defeats.
Well, we shall see. It'll certainly be something for the history books when it does occur. Almost time to conclude our Christmas Eve program here with Dr. Ron Feinman on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. Let's talk about a positive topic, one that we like to address in some way, probably every show, and that would be demographics of our government. You write in your blog a few days ago, all-time high number of women U.S. senators in 116th Congress, 25, which is 25%. And we did discuss on a recent show, 17 are Democrats, 8 are Republicans. It does seem like Republican Party is becoming more male, Democratic Party becoming more female, at least at the current time.
That is true.
Our most populous state, California, we have longtime politician, former San Francisco mayor, and well-known person, Dianne Feinstein, a senator, and someone we think may have her eyes on the presidency, Kamala Harris. Don't call her Kamala. We determined it was Kamala.
By the way, it's Feinstein, not Feinstein, but Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah, Feinstein is actually how I would normally pronounce it, because that's a more German pronunciation. But I thought she pronounced it at Feinstein previously, but...
No, she doesn't. Some people will give a person Stein or Steen, either one, but she is Dianne Feinstein. That's how she's called by the media, and she's never contested it that I've heard.
Yeah, and I'd prefer to say it that way anyways. That's the more correct German pronunciation. So we will, in the future, pronounce both of these fine ladies' names correctly, as I am a stickler on that myself.
I want to point out that she was the shortlist in 1984 as mayor of San Francisco to be Walter Mondale's running mate, but he chose Congresswoman Geraldine Ferraro instead. And meanwhile, she's made a career in the Senate, and it will be the oldest member. She is the oldest member of the Senate, and she will reach 90 in this term if she survives to 2024. And if she makes 90, she'll only be the fourth person ever to reach 90 and be a U.S. senator. So that's very interesting. She's been there, and she'll have the all-time record of service, too, if she lives throughout the next term. I wish the best for her.
Of course, Minnesota, we've talked about another potential president, Amy Klobuchar, as well as...
Oh, yes, I love Amy.
Tina Smith. Now, interestingly, as I've talked about ad nauseum on this show, we've never had a President Smith, despite that being the most common last name in the country. We've had two President Johnsons. That's the second most common name, and several candidates, including recently independent Gary Johnson. Maybe Tina Smith should be president, and we can break that streak of never having a President Smith. We could break the streak of no President Smiths and no female presidents all in one swoop. So... I say, I'm going to look up a little bit about Tina Smith. We're out of time today, so I'll do that between this show and the next show.
Okay, but I
wanted
to mention Mississippi just elected, after a controversy, Cindy Hyde-Smith, who had been appointed, as Tina Smith was. But as Hyde-Smith is her last name, she has a combined last name, Cindy Hyde-Smith, but Smith's in the name. So we have two people with Smith as the last part of their name.
Again, I don't know much about her, and I'm not going to vote for her or support her just because I like her name. I did mention that I previously supported a candidate named Adam and another current person, Adam Schiff, because I liked their names, but I do like them as people.
Yeah,
so
Adam Smith's wife is Eve, as you know.
But I will say that I did look up quickly about Tina Smith, which I'm doing as we're talking, and she, along with Jerry Moran, introduced a bipartisan bill. I like the idea that it's bipartisan because I think that Republicans and Democrats should get along, to make life-saving oral cancer medications more affordable. And I would say that is a wonderful thing to do, especially, again, bipartisan.
Yes.
The healthcare problem is not Democrat-Republican, it's American. And I applaud her for that. And although I don't know much about her, and I might joke about, okay, President Smith, female president, well, that's fine. Laughter is the best medicine. I guess so far, she seems like a pretty fine lady. But I will do a little bit of research, and we'll find out more about her and... See, exactly. If maybe the second time that somebody from Minnesota runs for president, of course referring to Walter Mondale, at least in recent history, maybe the second time will be the charm.
Earlier, and Eugene McCarthy earlier.
Right, but
yes,
that's before my time, though. But yeah, during my voting lifetime, yes, Walter Mondale, who, as you know, I'm a supporter of. And we both like Klobuchar, but let me find out more about this other person from Minnesota, Tina Smith.
Walter Mondale will hit 91 years of age on January 5th. So something to celebrate soon.
Yes, you know? And I'm sure we will be maybe wishing him a happy birthday come 91st birthday time approaching, as we're both certainly supporters of that gentleman. Other females who have been elected to Congress, again, one out of four senators for the 116th Congress will be of the female persuasion, both in Nevada, both Arizona senators, both in New Hampshire and in Washington State. So
and also in Congress itself, one out of four members of the entire Congress will be women, all-time high. If you count the House of Representatives, there'll be 102 in the House, 89 of them Democrats, only 13 Republicans. But altogether, there'll be about one out of every four close to it in the Congress will be women, all-time high, which is quite an amazing thing. And also a large number of Hispanics and Latinos, the all-time high. So that's a good sign, too.
Yeah, so I would say that it's nice to see that the demographics of our Congress are similar, I mean, not identical, similar at least to demographics of our great country, but one out of four women when half of our adults are female. Not quite there yet, but certainly much progress has been made in my lifetime, and I applaud that. It's a good news. So anyway, that closes out another finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. Hodgepodge of topics today. Again, the Mattis resignation, Mattis's replacement, Mr. Shanahan, potential candidates, of course, increasing numbers of females in high levels of government, which we're both happy about, including some who have their eyes on the White House, the government shutdown, and like any show with yours truly, a wisecracker too. Do wish you a happy Christmas Day, Ron, and a happy
time. And next week
time.
Will be New Year's Eve. Yep. We'll be discussing
happy
the oncoming 2019. Yes,
happy time between Christmas and New Year's Day. Kind of that time we all kind of slow down and recollect on 2018 and look forward to 2019 and getting ready for more great radio and commentary in 2019. And as Americans,
I just want to finish
Ron,
by saying I woke up on Sunday morning and it was 51 degrees here in Boca Raton, so we had a cool wave come through and it was quite nice to have a little cooler here. Now it's up to about 70, however.
Yeah, but I will say that as Americans, we're all on the same side and that we all love our country, and it's nice if we can get back to the business of running this country. And regardless of how you may feel about the issues causing the shutdown, let's go ahead and get it solved and get our important workers back on the payroll and back to doing the jobs that they love. Would that kind of sum it up, Ron?
And I also want to point out the National Park Service, many of them, if you go to an open park, they don't have restrooms available. So that's another reason to end this shutdown, because the idea that you don't have a public restroom available and yet some of these places are open is crazy. It really is.
And we'll conclude the show by my repeating a wisecrack which I made on Facebook when I saw that, which is that isn't going to be good for the beer industry. Because you know what happens after you drink a few beers, yes. And if there's no restrooms available, you may think twice about consuming your favorite brew. And we'll leave it at that.
Yes.
Thanks again, Dr. Ron Fineman, for being with us. And
thank you very much for inviting me again.
Have a great rest of your Christmas Eve.
It.